Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Do you like the way I say luxurious?
Sounds like you're getting ready to rumble.
That's the...
Oh, let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get ready to donut. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, you just heard... Wow, we just heard Venerable Tom speak.
Hello.
You weren't here last time. We missed you.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You know, you have a busy business, and so every once in a while...
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Every once in a while you're not here. And we got Ziggy Rodriguez here.
That's me.
Yeah, and so I'm so glad both of you are here. The band's back together. We got a great show because this is, you know what, we can say anything we want because people don't listen to us on this this weekend.
Yeah.
It's like Thanksgiving weekend.
Does your family listen to you, by the way?
Do they?
Yeah.
Only if I shame them. No. Bess listens. She listens religiously. I mean, it's hi, Bess. She is like literally, like, she loves to listen.
So... I'm doing a little test,
yeah,
and I'm sure this will fly right past them too, but no one has gotten back to me. You remember when we did the show on Maximilian Kolbe?
Yeah.
I haven't heard a word from anybody in my family.
Oh,
so
man.
I think it's funny.
Why? Well,
they're not listening.
Well, now you should take a moment in every episode to talk about how your family doesn't listen. And then give them a password, give them a code word. So that if they're listening, they should call and they should say, what's this week's...
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
And it's not cauliflower, it's Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
Okay, very good.
That's cauliflower. That's from a film I love.
If anybody knows a Dorian,
just say
let
cauliflower.
Them know, say you got to say cauliflower
to your that's from another
dad.
Great film out there, but we won't get into that.
It's going to really confuse people. Like when one of your sons walks up to you with some cauliflower and you start tearing up, people are going to be like, what? Why is Tom so moved by this?
That's some good cauliflower.
I'm going to put out a competitive word. I'm going to pineapple. And so,
pineapple.
So,
okay.
No, but I'm telling the Dorians to go up to you and say pineapple.
Yeah.
And you're going to go like, why?
I'll tell them to get behind me.
Get thee behind me, pineapple.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's all wonderful. Listen, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, because it's Thanksgiving weekend.
Speaking of family,
it's important. Well, yes, we're going to be with our families and hanging out and doing all that kind of stuff, and that's a good thing to do that. But also, it's that time of year for I Give Catholic, and igivecatholic.org is a place where you can go and give to Catholic causes, Catholic charities. And we are listed. We are listed there, the Catholic Cafe, and advanced giving is open. And the actual day is the Tuesday that follows Thanksgiving, so next Tuesday. So, but you are welcome to give now, right now. Just so if you're listening,
some of those donations, by the way, doesn't that go to like video equipment?
Yes, we are trying to upgrade our.
Maybe that's
outreach.
Why we're not getting that much. They don't want to see us.
That may be true. But
we have voices for radio.
If they give enough, though, we'll have masks.
We have faces for radio.
No,
that's right.
We'll
I beg your pardon.
No, but
thank
that,
you, Sam.
That budget includes masks. We'll have like... Yeah, we'll have masks. So if
I
they give enough...
The Lone Ranger.
If they don't give enough and we end up like having video equipment and then like they see us and go like, well, I thought they were going to get masks. Like, you didn't give enough.
Right.
Right. And I told Ziggy when you were here last time that our goal is $100 million.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if we can just get everybody to give $1,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then 100 million people do it. I'm doing the math and thinking that's actually like $10 million, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we will take anything. We really appreciate and listener. We are truly 100% listener supported. We're actually not supported at all.
We're not.
We don't get any corporate grants. We don't get any church money. We don't get anything from anybody. But we do this because it's fun, right?
But if someone does write $100 million check, you might get them a special batch of checks next. Is that right?
Yeah. No, more than that, I told them they get naming rights. We will no longer call it the Catholic Cafe. It'll be like the Fred Jones show. Who's Fred Jones? He gave us $100 million. He gets his own show, right? I'm right. I'm all in. I am all in with that. So anyway, so this starts the season of giving, an opportunity for us to give back to our communities, give back to charities to help, really help bolster and build up our evangelization in our faith. And the Catholic Cafe is an excellent way to do it. If you're listening to it right now, somebody cared enough about it that they would give, $10, $20, or $50. Mm-hmm. Bucks. Just got a donation for $100 yesterday. So it's like just happy to receive anything. And I promise you, not one penny of that goes to any of us three. Mm-hmm. There's no salary stipends. There's no pocket money. All of that's going to go directly into our technology here, just to, so that we got to keep up with the technology.
Cause we pay for our own donuts.
I hear technology is the wave of the future.
No, it's not. It's actually not. AI told me that. AI said it's not the wave of the future. So anyway, you can believe that, right? Okay, so this is also, it's a season for, giving and caring about community. It's a season for family that we're starting. And so we all know, as Catholics, this is the Advent season now. And so as we move into Advent, how wonderful we anticipate the coming of our Lord in his infancy. Certainly we recall that time. But then also the coming of the Lord at the end of time. And then we all have that third coming, right? That's where the Christ comes to us literally every day in our lives as Catholics, especially when we go to Mass and receive him in Holy Eucharist. And so there's this three comings of Christ, as it were. And so Advent's a great, wonderful season. And I get this question a lot when it comes from our very faithful friends. I don't know if people ever talk about it to you, but like, when is too much too much? Like, when can we start listening to Christmas music? When can we start decorating? Right, and we've actually done a show or two about, because this is it's an important topic. I think we've done a show or two about stepping into Christmas and why it's okay to listen to Christmas music, why it's okay to watch a Christmas music, a movie, right? Why that's okay even before December 24th,
mm-hmm. or Gaudete Day Sunday, which is the traditional. That day where they started putting up decorations.
Yeah, small
like
tea
that.
Tradition. But yes, it, in history, that's when it was the season of, or the Sunday of joy, right?
Yeah.
And rejoicing. Gaudete means rejoice. And so it was I think it was a convenient time to go like, hey, well, now we should do it. We're rejoicing, right? And because, Christ is ever nearer, right? Just in a week, and that's, or so. And that's why that third Sunday of Advent is a time when people would traditionally start to decorate. So we're going to do it. Today's show is really going to focus on striking a balance and understanding the importance. And it's not just for, we'll say, Advent, Christmas, or any kind of holiday, but striking a balance between the secular and the spiritual, right? And I think a lot of people, because you've got people on both sides.
Hard to do.
It can be very hard to do, and it can be confusing. Because you're hearing different voices. Now, there are certain people who have an online presence, and I've watched some of their videos, and they're basically admonishing people for putting up the tiniest decoration during Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you shouldn't. It's not Christmas. You're skipping Advent. It's a season, mm-hmm. and you should celebrate Advent as a season. It has its own character, and it's its own design, and it has a purpose and a meaning in our spiritual life, and you're doing wrong by decorating for Christmas and having a Christmas time mm-hmm. during Advent. And I get that, and I understand that. But I think there's a way to strike a balance. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you put decorations up early? I'm just taking notes so I can turn you in.
Yeah, we do. We're starting to get further and further away from that, though, the older we get and the more we realize
what we're doing. No, that's because you're a curmudgeon, and what's happening is you're stopping decorating.
Yeah, we're
just
stalling.
You're just sad about life,
right,
and you're like,
right.
I don't really want to do this.
Right.
Because there's also a sadness there sometimes when you see some folks that are kind of
alone. I tell you the part that drives me the most nuts is when you start seeing Christmas trees and all the other stuff, all the decorations on the curb on the 26th.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen as much anymore. I don't know if you've noticed, but like Christmas tree lots are getting fewer and farther between. Mm-hmm. And people aren't putting up live trees. They're putting up the plastic trees or the artificial trees.
It's only the really stupid people who think, oh, I got to put my fake tree on the corner. They're actually just kidding.
You might run into one of those. Now, interestingly, though, I did bump into a guy who said, well, you got to finally get rid of our, we have an artificial tree.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had it for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to change it's obviously.
It's a big year, you know, year. It's like, it's amazing what technology has done, you know.
Yeah.
But all that aside, you know, there's a whole new character to all of this. And I thought you were going to say, Tom, when you were talking about that you know, the thing that really gets you, because what's starting to get me now is there's a certain group of our separated brothers and sisters in Jesus, so our Protestant brothers and sisters, who think that Halloween is an evil devil worshiping holiday and time. And
right.
There are people who have fallen into that trap.
I've turned it into it.
And gotten it into a little too much of a glorifying evil, as it were. You know, and I get that, and I understand the difficulty there. But some of these little churches that are, you know, Bible-believing churches that are maybe non-denominational or some whatever, but they start decorating for Christmas. I saw three different churches in our city decorate for Christmas before Halloween. I mean, literally, with the angels and the trees, all with the lights and stuff out
on their church. These are Protestant churches, right?
Okay,
Okay.
Not Catholic churches.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, okay, now we're going overboard the other way, right? We're that becomes an extreme in my mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the thing about striking a balance. I mean, I'm thinking about Aristotelian and the philosophies about, you know, finding that middle way.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the middle way, like a personal preference of mine, is to wait until Gaudete Sunday. I think there's something special about that. It gives room to really receive.
Do you punt and do you point at people and you judge them?
Well,
no.
I didn't get to that. So, like I was saying, like my personal preference is for myself to do that, and I haven't yet had like a wife and children, and it would be my preference that would be how family life would be celebrated as well. But at the end of the day, if someone invites me to a Christmas gathering before Gaudete Sunday, or if I'm
I'm sorry, I must refuse your invitation.
Yeah, exactly. Or someone wants to play Christmas music. Or,
do you say bah humbug?
Right, exactly. That's the thing. We don't want to come off like all of a sudden, because of our zeal for Christmas, we come off as Scrooges. I mean, that would be kind of a strange result, right?
So, right.
So yeah, I have a preference just for the sake of that small tea tradition. But I also think it's important, you know, to recognize for a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, first of all, don't even know about Advent, you know, and, you know, of course, if I'm talking to Catholics who are kind of just completely skipping over Advent, I'll sometimes have conversations here and there and be like, you know, Advent's a really special time of the year, you know.
Yeah, and if you keep celebrating Christmas now, we're going to drive a stake of holly through your heart, to borrow Ebenezer Scrooge's words.
I mean,
that's a good point, actually. I think the key to some of this is to really bear down on Advent and trying to focus on some way to, you know, open up each day during Advent.
Yeah, I agree with
that. An Advent calendar, or, you know.
And to have disciplines in place where you're trying to grow in preparation for Christmas.
Right.
And you're really living and witnessing that. I think that can also be, it can be fruitful for you, but it could also be potentially infectious or to others, depending on how it's lived out.
Now, do you think there are, like, you know, potential, like, Christmas junkies, you know, that hide it? They realize they have an addiction, right? And so the way they hide it is they have, like, I'm going to get a Christmas tree, but I'm going to put purple lights on it. I did that.
Right.
I did that in my office at...
During Advent?
Yeah, at the Chancery. During Advent, I had a purple tree. I mean, literally, it was a regular little small Christmas tree.
You'd be a great lawyer.
And I put purple lights on it, and people were like, that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, see, I know what I'm touching on a vein. There's like this need to decorate. But at the end of the day, I'm like you, Ziggy, in that I agree that there's a good way to kind of help witness, right, what Advent is to people that probably should know but don't. And the wrong way, again, is the, you know, stake of holly through the heart, you know. The wrong way is to say, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, right?
Right.
You know you're skipping like an important season, and you're missing the whole point of Advent.
Sound like a church lady when you do that.
Well, I'll just say it this way. You know, people that we encounter, especially some of the younger folks. You know, I'm 130 years old. I don't sound that old, but you know, everyone younger than me. I mean, it's just so easily triggered, right? Right now, and it's just, it's not going to reach people by leading with that that statement that says, you know, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. You realize that's wrong. That's just not going to be well received. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had, even in like corporate environment, I've always had this thing, like if I'm on the opposite sides of the conference room table with somebody on an issue, I've always found it was better to get up from my side, walk over to their side, mm-hmm. and basically take their hand and kind of lead them over to my side, which is a different way of thinking instead of talking across the table about point-counterpoint, which tends to be argumentative. And you can do that in a gentle, caring way. But I've always found that when people think like, wait, he's coming over to meet me. He wants to talk to me as a human being. That's great. That's interesting. So I'm going to listen. So you gain trust, and then you say like, hey, wouldn't we be better on the other side based on this thing that, you know, this relationship built on trust, but also on these points. I've found that to be a very positive way. And so I think that like when it comes to things like helping somebody who doesn't understand Advent, how to celebrate Advent, mm-hmm. and also I will go back to those. I stand by those shows we did on when you can start decorating, because when someone says you can't decorate, I knew a priest that said, I don't decorate until December 24th. I put my tree up. It's like, yeah.
That's our pastor.
They did that in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I am saying that you're wrong to say that I shouldn't do it. Because from a very practical point of view, somebody made the artificial tree. Somebody made the decorations. They made it, and it wasn't Christmas Eve when they made those decorations. Mm-hmm. They made them ahead of time. If you're preparing a feast, if you are, and you are inviting people over to your house, they're coming over for a Christmas Eve dinner, and so you want the place decked. You want to deck the halls for this Christmas Eve dinner you're going to have with your family, friends, whatever. Like, you're going to decorate ahead of time. You're going to clean the house, maybe a week in advance, maybe Gaudete Sunday. I don't know, Ziggy. But it's like, you're going to decorate. And maybe you're going to be in the mood when you decorate. So you're going to listen to a Christmas music. You're going to cook a feast. You're going to cook food, and you're going to taste it. And you're going to be like, and then you're going to anticipate it all the more. And that, to me, is how it's very practical to step into. So I don't think it's wrong in this day and age. I don't think it's wrong to wait until Gaudete, or I don't think it's wrong to wait till Christmas Eve. If that's your family tradition, that's what you want to do. But I do think that sometimes if we're doing it as an example to tell others they're doing it wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? We've missed the spirit of Advent, missed the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, and I think also there's cultural aspects too. So, you know, Filipinos, they're some of the most on fire Catholics in the world. In the Philippines, the moment the months end with B-E-R, it's Christmas. Which, yeah. on one hand, that's kind of hard for me to fathom. On the other hand, it's like a third of the year is Christmas. I mean, if a third of the year is dedicated to celebrating the birth of our Lord by people who are on fire Catholics, you know.
They're actually petitioning right now in their local government to change August to Augustburg. I just heard that. So they're trying to extend it. They're extending it.
But yeah, so I mean,
January Burr, because you want to extend it, you know, on the other side. Anyway, just to.
So, I mean, I celebrate that because that's obviously a culture that is on fire for the Lord, you know.
How in the world did you know that? Where did that come from?
I know things.
I'm just amazed. Pulling stuff out of nowhere.
But there's a lot of cultures.
He also just makes this stuff up, and we are so gullible. You know, the moon is made of cheese. I mean, he led with that for years, and people started believing it.
Well, I mean, you know, Tom built quite a business selling grilled cheese sandwiches with moon cheese.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good one. I like that. I think I would eat one of those.
That sounds good, actually.
So it's like, I love the idea that, like, you know, there's culture and tradition,
yeah,
but there's also family culture and tradition,
yes.
and things you've always done. And again, that's where I go back to, you know, you want to be a little Ignatian about, you know, judging things by their fruits and look at desolations and consolations, and you start to realize if you examine what's happening in your life of decorating, for instance, you can probably see if there's consolations or desolations, right? And you can start to realize sometimes it takes a little bit longer that if you ignore the Advent season, you might start missing the meaning and purpose behind Christmas. That's why I talk about the balance between secular and spiritual.
Yeah.
Right? It's you know, remember, the extremes are bad. So if you do it extremely secularly or extremely spiritually, you might think, like, well, how can that be bad to be extremely spiritual? Like I said before, I don't think inherently it's bad, but I think it can be perceived as bad by the people you're trying to preach to or teach to or evangelize. Mm-hmm. If they're seeing you as an extremely spiritual person, meaning a person that eschews anything that is of the world, right, and doesn't, it seems like you're no fun. He's no fun because all he does is go to church. All he does is preach. All he does is pray. All he does. Now, I'm not saying that's bad to do those things and have this kind of very saintly relationship with God. I think that's beautiful. But at the same time, I think even the saints would probably understand that if they're going to evangelize, they're going to have to attract people to a lifestyle. They're going to have to, they're going to actually go out into a world that does not practice things the way they do. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be a balance struck. This is, again, my opinion. And, you know, send me an email and let me know if you think this is a stupid, you know, a boneheaded opinion. But I really do think that when we go to extremes, even on the spiritual, it can actually do damage to the body.
Well, I mean, Saint John on the Cross actually talks about.
I knew you'd know a saint that said something. Yeah, yeah. This is awesome. This is great.
Yeah, like and
was he Filipino? I don't think he was. I don't think he was.
He was Spanish, so there's a little bit of a relationship, yeah. Historically. But no, with Saint John on the Cross, I mean, his theology is informed. It's a mystical theology, but it's largely informed by the same sort of, I guess you could say, the anthropology of Saint Thomas Aquinas, like how the human being was created by God and how our appetites work and how you grow in virtue. And so excess and defect were at the heart of how he would walk through the various vices. And so, and he would, in Dark Night of the Soul, for example, he goes through the seven deadly sins and he will talk about the spiritual version of those. And this is, you know, he's really writing to people who are young monks, young friars, I guess I should say, who are being a little bit too extreme, you know, yeah. And they're living a life of spiritual avarice, spiritual lust, spiritual gluttony, right. And he walks through sort of
what that is in those dreams,
Dark Night of the Soul. So you absolutely can go. It's church tradition that you can go to extremes in spiritual matters and in devotion.
But also you shouldn't be the other way extreme, where you would look at someone who is highly spiritual, right, and say, well, their head's up in the clouds, they have no connection with me. There are people, I think, that wrongly accuse people who have a very traditional liturgy, for instance, to say, well, they think that they're like holier than everybody else and whatever. And are there people like that in that particular vein of Christianity? There might be a few. I haven't experienced it in a way where people say that. And so I'm very, very, very accepting, I think, of people who have a heightened sense of spirituality, especially when it comes to the Mass. And I would rather look at that and say, like, that's not harming me for someone to be there and to experience that. In fact, I look at that and I see some beautiful there that makes me want to sort of take some of this these spiritual goods and really just kind of transplant them into the Novus Ordo Mass. And so that's like, I think there's some beautiful potential there for realizing that there are, we have a very, very large mission field outside the church, and we also have a large mission field inside the church where we need to start to reach out and reach others and not try to put people in compartments and groups, and also not to see some things as extreme that aren't extreme, right? And I just think there's something beautiful. So all this to me comes always to a height at this time of year, because mm-hmm. It's like, well, is it okay to watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? I grew up with that little stop-motion animation Rankin and Bass stuff, you know? And so it's like, oh, the Heat Miser. I remember him. I love the Heat Miser, you know? And it's like, yeah, I get all that. But there's nothing wrong with, and it's extremely, you know, secular, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to have, although they, it's always funny back in the 60s and the 70s when they would put in something about the baby Jesus, and the music would change. There'd be like a little tinkling piano or whatever. Because like when Santa Claus is coming to town, shows like that about the origin of Kris Kringle and all these things, you know, I wouldn't take them literally, okay, as in terms of historical value. But if they heighten a sense of anticipation, then it becomes, it's part, to me, it's part of Advent.
Yep.
If you're anticipating the coming of the Lord, so always balance the secular with the spiritual to at least make sure you understand that the secular's reason for existence should point to the spiritual. And if it doesn't, then you can get rid of it.
Hey, real quick, what about In It's a Wonderful Life? Do I get to watch that during Advent?
You can watch that. You can watch that 24/7.
Watch that during Lent, Tom.
I figured I'd get that from you.
No, 100%. I'm a huge fan of that movie. I'm a huge fan of a lot of those movies. Now,
what's the other one? It's the Bing Crosby one?
Well, there's Going My Way.
That's it, Going My Way.
And it's not intensely Christmassy, mm-hmm. but it ends with a very Silent Night kind of Christmassy right. Little scene that's very touching, mm-hmm. with the reunification of Bing Crosby and his mother. You know, and so there's some beautiful.
I know your films.
Yeah. There's some. You do.
I do.
But The Bishop's Wife.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I actually never watched that until
Miracle
you brought it up.
Miracle on 34th Street, the 1940s.
Classic, you know, Natalie Wood.
Yeah, so there's some really, really good. Watch those movies. And of course, I watched the 1939 version of Christmas Carol, right?
Oh, yeah.
I watched that one on Christmas Eve every year. But. It's good to have those family traditions. It's good to celebrate Christmas. Just don't over-celebrate,
right.
And you're going to be fine. And it's okay if you're driving home from work, things are a little stressed, and you want to listen to a little Christmas music a little early. It's okay. I give you permission. So let's prepare for the holidays in a holy way, and especially remember the reason for the season. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.